بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اكتبنا منهم اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك والله open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance. Ya Allah, don't leave us to our own selves for the blink of an eye, and illuminate our hearts with your words, the Quran, with the correct understanding of it, and even more importantly, the obedience to your commands and acting on the Quran. Ameen. So today we start another of the real early Makkan surahs, which is Suratul Al-Muzammil. Muzammil. Muzammil and Muddathir are like sister surahs. They are next to each other. You know, 73, 74, also in Revelation. And these are two of the titles by which the Prophet ﷺ has been addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So he is called Al-Muzammil, he is called Al-Muddathir. What are the other names Allah has called him? Of course, he is called Muhammad, he is called Ahmad, he is called Taha, he is called Yasin, he is called Abdullah in the Quran, not Mustafa in the Quran. These are in the Quran. Okay. And so those are some of the titles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran itself. So as you remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, you look at this early period, there is a handful of Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has just had a few messages revealed to him. He is still sort of in awe of this responsibility, of this sighting of Jibreel alayhi salam. And so on this occasion again, he is home and he is covered up in his bedclothes. He is wrapped up. Perhaps he is sleeping. One version is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was wrapped up in his bedclothes and sleeping. And another narration says that this was after an encounter with Jibreel alayhi salam, and he was again in that state of fear and shivering, and he was wrapped up. So, zamala means to wrap yourself, to cover yourself up. Zamala also means in Arabic to raise something, to carry something. Again, you can see the implications that he is the one who's going to be carrying the message. He's going to be raising the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above all else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah by addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine in his room, in the house of his house, the house of our mother Khadija radiallahu anha. He's got his daughters there, four of them, which are little girls because he's 40 years old. He's, he's got Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu living there. I mean, look at this noble household. So he is wrapped up and the message comes. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, kumil layla illa qaleela, nisfahu aw winqus minhu qaleela, aw zid alayhi. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. We'll start with that. So I've changed the format. We're not going to do the whole thing. We're going to do this much. So I'm going to have Fahad read the translation up to here.
Wait.
Al-Muzammil, first four ayahs.
O you who are enwrapped in a mantle, seeking cover out of fear and awe, rise the night long in prayer, except for a little of it, or pray half of it, or take from this a little, or add to it, and therein recite the Quran with a measured recitation.
That's it. So, there is a command to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in the second person singular. Qum means stand up. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qumil layla illa qalila. Stand up. What does qum mean? Literally means to stand. It means, in this case, leave the warmth of your bed. Leave your comfort. Leave your comfortable life. Leave all of those things because you have a great task and a mission. And you have a burden of heavy responsibility. Therefore, stand up and prepare for the task ahead of you, which requires a continuous, steadfast, sustained effort. He's being told there is something big that's coming. And this should be the formula for all the people of Dawah, because this is addressed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But whoever wants to be his follower and take this responsibility has to take it as seriously as that, that this is a lifelong mission that requires a lot of sacrifice, and it is not a place of rest and ease. So, the Prophet ﷺ is given a direct command, yet he is made a model for all those who follow him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that you have a mission, so you have to make yourself upright first. Qum. So you be the example, because the best da'wah is by example. It's not by words, it's by amal. People need to see Islam in practice. Okay? And we face that challenge today. We give literature to people, but they say, show us the living examples of Islam. We can't show a country, we can't show individuals, we can't show leaders. So that's a real tragedy. So the best da'wah is to be the example of Islam. So what does it mean, leave your bed? At the end of a day, when you are tired, what do you love the most? Your bed. You want to sleep. Spouses don't want to be disturbed by their spouses, even no matter how much they are. I want my sleep. Saying, leave the warmth of your bed. Leave your comfort. Sacrifice what you love against your nafs, which is your sleep. So, just remember that everything in our deen, including this, has to be applied first on me. We tell people, do this, do this. Am I doing what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to do? Not periodically, not irregularly, but continuously. In our deen, there is istiqama. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, what Allah loves best is, even if it's a small action, but it's done continuously and regularly with istiqama, with steadfastness. We must remember this very important lesson, that the Quran, although here it's addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is for me. My personal growth must precede my teaching and dawah. It's not detached that I convey my message, or we people are into dawah, we have to give dawah to non-Muslims. What is my personal situation? Okay, that should always be part of this. Now, so that's what it means, qumil layl. Stand in the night, illa qalila. Also, there is an ishara in this, you know. Layl, the night, means darkness. You stand upright. As, have you seen, on the oceans where the land is nearby, you see a lighthouse to guide people. So, isharatan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stand up in the darkness of the night as a light to all of humanity. Okay. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. How much should you stand up? And what does this stand up mean? This is qiyamul layl, which means stand up in salah, in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand up for the whole night, except a little bit. How long is the night, Brother Talal, these days?
Pretty long.
How many hours?
12 to 14 hours.
Allah is saying, stand in front of Allah for 12 to 14 hours, or a little less. maybe 11 to 13 hours. Nisfahu, half of it, aw winqus minhu qalila, or a little less, little more, half the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a formula. From 5 hours to 13 hours, stand in prayer at night when you are fatigued. Suppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had stopped at that point, what would our position be? I don't know about anybody else.
It would have been mandatory then.
Well, this was mandatory.
It was.
Yes.
But
the point here is, if Allah had left it at you have to pray half the night or whole night, where would we be? Even those who get up for tahajjud, who pray 2 hours and say, I've done great, we would be failures. You wouldn't even be half of the minimum that Allah said. You see? أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, or more than that. Allah made this fard, made this an obligation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslims. So what was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He used to pray all night. Now technically, if you look at this, this is addressed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet those early Muslims, his followers, prayed all night like him. Our mother Aisha tells us that for the whole year, this continued after this was revealed. 1 year they prayed all night. She says their feet used to swell. If you've prayed 2-3 hours at night, like we do in Ramadan, your feet will swell. My feet, you know, how they were in Medina. Night after night for a whole year. Now the scholars say that this, it was made mandatory fard for the early Muslims, even though technically it's addressed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's also a sign of ittiba, of love of his early followers. You are commanded, we will also do the same. Okay. This is how the nufus were trained early on. Allah says, we obey. It's not a matter of finding ease in it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْزِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to recite the Qur'an. So tartil of the Qur'an is to recite it slowly, safeguarding each alphabet as it should be pronounced, feeling the meaning of it, spacing it in a beautiful way, and beautifying it with your voice. Ratala in the traditional Arabic used to be talked about the mouth, a mouth that was clean and pure, that smelled good, and which had evenly spaced teeth, so it looked beautiful. So you recite the Quran in a beautiful pace. It's not rushed. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to recite the Quran at this special time, in an orderly, regularly spaced recitation, slowly beautifying it with your voice. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ taught us and commanded his followers. He said, زَيِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ. Beautify the Qur'an with your voices. Now, everybody doesn't have the most beautiful voice. What does that mean? It means the best voice that you can produce. Okay. So don't take it, though, I have a terrible voice, I shouldn't recite the Quran at night. No, you should do the best you can. And the more you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that beautiful, inshallah. And it will have an impact on our hearts, which is the best that we want. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother Umm Salama, were asked about the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wouldn't you like to have heard the recitation of the Quran right from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can you imagine? Some people were fortunate enough to hear it from his mouth. his noble mouth. But what must it have been? How beautiful it must have been. But they say that he recited it slowly. He recited it, he said, short surahs, he would recite so slowly that it would seem like long surahs, and he would stop at the end of each ayah. And he would prolong, such as, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is how he used to recite, and he used to stop at everything. He never rushed through it. So, that's what we should try and do, is when we recite in our salah, don't rush through it. Okay, don't be in a hurry to get to the end of it, eating up half the words, not pronouncing them properly. So there's something for all of us to learn. Now after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela.
For we shall most surely cast upon you a weighty word.
Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we are going to put a heavy responsibility, qawlan thaqeela, word that is very heavy. What does a heavy, weighty word mean? It means, number one, that this is something monumental, because first, think who it is coming from. These are the words of Allah. Number two, what is the meaning of these words? They are weighty. Number three, they put a heavy responsibility. Heavy responsibility of conveying the message and acting on the message. Also, that they are magnificent spiritually, and they carry a lot of weight on the scales on the Day of Judgment. They're also heavy as evidence in your favor or against you on the Day of Judgment, depending on whether you acted on them or not. And they are heavy in that they have a great impact on the hearts of the believers. Thaqeela also is used as being very rich. The words of Allah are so rich that there is a challenge till the Day of Judgment that all the jinn kind and all the mankind together cannot produce one verse that matches the magnificence of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we are putting this huge responsibility, this weight on you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in those early days to his daughters, and he said, "O my daughters, there is no rest for your father after today, because it's a full-time responsibility." And one of the last things before he passed away, his ajal from this dunya, when his only surviving daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha, was by him, he smiled at her because she was weeping. She said, "There is no suffering for your father after this day, and there is only rest for him. Because now my task is over." One day he was very tired. Our mother Khadija radiallahu anha said this early on, said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, get some rest." You know what he said? He said, "Ya Khadija, the time for sleep is gone. The time for sleep is gone." The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also had gravitational weight. What does that mean? One day, you know, the person who collected the Quran for us, I gave you in the first session, who was held the primary responsibility for gathering and writing the Quran? Forgotten? Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. Okay. He's the one who was, he was one of the scribes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was given the responsibility by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and later by Uthman radiallahu anhu, to write the Quran and gather the Quran. So one day he says that I was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his thigh was resting on my leg as I was writing. And then the wahi came. And he said, as the wahi came down, the thigh of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was resting on my leg, it felt that my leg was going to snap. This also happened. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was sitting, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down with his head on her thigh, you know, just resting with his wife. And the wahi came down. She said, I thought his head became so heavy. And it was a cold day. From the weight of it, he broke out in a sweat. That's what used to happen when it used to come directly, not through Jibreel alayhi salam. And there are narrations that more than once he was riding on a camel. When the wahi came down, the camels just would drop their heads and they couldn't get up. So, قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are going to send to you a very weighty word, weighty in every sense. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ If this Quran
were to come down on what you know as the strongest thing on this earth, the mountains,
you would see the mountains humble themselves. Why? Because they know whose words it is, and crumble into pieces and dust from khashyatillah, from the awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what would happen to mountains if this word came down on the mountains. The question to ask is, what happens to my heart when the Quran comes on it? Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed and prepared the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to receive his word. Every letter that has been put in the Quran, every word is the word of Allah and has a right to be there, should be treated as weighty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to treat every word of the Quran with reverence, with veneration, with humility of submission. Ameen. We should treat every word of the Quran like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَّدُّ وَطْعًا وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا
And indeed, rising by night for prayer makes for a stronger impression on the soul, okay, and is best for the recitation of God's word.
So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the benefits of this. He is training Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his mission by saying, your strength is going to come from standing at night in prayer in front of me, because all of the spiritual benefits and strength that that provides, not only to him but to everybody else after that, comes from that. So if we want to have an impact on people, this is a requirement. Okay. Inna nashiyat al-layli. It's been translated as the rising. Nashiyat al-layli. Rising in the night for what? For salah. For dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For dua, for contemplating and the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for reading, reciting the Quran with tartil. Nashiyat al-layl, what is the night? The scholars have said, from the time of Isha till dawn. All of that is, any time in that is part of this. Now the Prophet ﷺ sometimes got up in the early part of the night. Sometimes he got up in the middle part of the night. Sometimes he got up in the last part of the night. More frequently in the last part of the night, because there is a narration of the Prophet ﷺ that in the last one third of the night, there is the nuzul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we translate as descend. Don't think of it in any directional space thing. That Allah, let's just say, comes nearer to us. Into, it says that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not contained in space, into the first heaven, and he asks three questions. What are the three questions?
Who is asking from me
that I may give them? who is looking for forgiveness, that I may forgive them. Who requests something from me, that I can grant them. So this is a very special time of spiritual benefit, and this is a time for some of us, and all of us inshallah soon, to stand up at least for part of that time to get the benefits of them. Inna nashiyata layli, he said, rising up or emerging at this time of the night, hiya ashadu wat'an. Wata means to have an impact. It is very effective on the heart. Okay, it leaves an imprint. The word wata is also used. For example, if you pour cement and you put your foot on it, it leaves an imprint. This is the same meaning. That getting up at this time, the words of Allah when you recite it at that time will leave an imprint on your heart. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us special times for special occasions where worshipping Allah in this way, Salah and Quran and Dhikr, have a very special effect and produces the greatest impact and impression, because we are also declaring by standing up at that time our victory, our triumph over physical exhaustion, over what our nafs likes. We are going against it. We said, I want to sleep. I said, no, I'm going to get out of this warm bed on this cold night. I'm going to splash my face with cold water and I'm going to stand in front of my Rabb. Okay? It requires special sacrifice that this person has chosen to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And does Allah know that it's a struggle for you? Yes. Does He reward you for the struggle? Of course. So remember that, and that would make it easier that, Ya Allah, I am standing, I am fighting against I am sleep deprived, and yet I am standing to glorify you in worship and to remember you and your words. And also at this time of the night, the heart is less distracted with it. You know, if you pray in the middle of Dhuhr time, for us doctors, you're seeing patient between one and the second patient. How much focus can you have? You're thinking of the last patient, you're thinking of the next patient, and whatever job you have, from one customer to the next and everything. Distracted. Here, children are not running around, wife and husband are not calling each other, work isn't there. You have less distraction, so this is a very special time. And prayer is more enlightening. The dua becomes more sincere and transparent. Your heart is not, you are not distracted here and there, and more rewarding. And just a reflection that if you know what happens during sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. Every day in sleep, what happens to you? Your soul is taken where? To the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you wake up, if you look at it this way, the soul has freshly returned from the Divine Presence. Shouldn't it be more readily acceptable of what's the words of my Rabb? So think of it that way. And at that time, there is more harmony between our external and internal, more sukoon in every way. And therefore, it is more conducive to extracting the gems from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You read the same words, in that moment you may get a new meaning, you may get a new understanding, and suddenly the light goes on, you know. Every word of Allah is a gem. You just pick it up and you look at beauty from a different aspect of it. Okay? So think of it that way. Aqwamu qila again means the speech at this time is most upright, or the most correct in the words at this time, that you recite them in a better way. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. I'm going to take a few minutes to go into, because this is an instruction for Qiyamul Layl, okay, standing in prayer at night. Okay. And as we said in the beginning, early on, this was given as the first task. Train yourself by standing all night or part of the, a little less than half the night, a little more. For one whole year, they did this. And after 1 year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the 20th ayah of this, which then gave them respite in the sense, okay, take it easy, do what you can. But for 1 year, and they didn't complain, there's no record, they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is getting heavy on us. But Allah knows. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a nafila. Means an extra or nafil or supergatory. Okay. Nafil. Means you have an option of doing it. Yet it's a highly recommended option. For anybody who's serious about their spiritual growth, you can do without it to some degree. So it's highly recommended, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it's optional. If you don't get up, it's not a sin. Okay. Yet for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it remained a farid, a fard, according to all the majority of scholars, for his entire life. So much so that if for some reason, like sickness or something, he missed the Qiyamul Layl in the day, he would pray 12 rakat to compensate for that. Like we do qada, right? So he treated it as qada, 12 rakat. So we have our mother Aisha radiallahu anha in her room. She sees her husband sallallahu alayhi wasallam standing all night. Now, when she is in his room, this is in the Madinan period. And he's still standing because she says his legs used to swell and skin used to crack. So, as a young lady, she, radiallahu anha wa ardaha, says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven your past and your future. Why do you torture yourself like this? What's his response? It's very, very famous, most of you know. He says to her, you know, knowing and sort of indulging her as he did, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Then should I not, if he has forgiven everything, should I, أَفَلَا يَكُونُ أَكُونُ, shouldn't I be عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, a grateful servant. I mean, just the fact that he's forgiven all my past and future. And when he says forgiven, don't perceive it that he is a sinner, okay? He is ma'asum. What has he forgiven? Small things which he could have done better, for example, okay? Such as turning away from a blind person and paying more attention to the, you know, somebody else. Things like that. Such as making a decision in Badr to let people go instead of you know, giving them capital punishment. Things like that. So he said, if you know, Allah has forgiven, so what should my response be for that? Alhamdulillah, I'm all set. No, I should be more grateful by being standing in front of him all night. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and you know where the house of Fatima radiallahu anha, right next to it, to the hujra of Aisha radiallahu anha, just to the other side of the qibla. He goes there, and they're sleeping at night. Who's sleeping? Look at this beautiful house. Ali radiallahu anha, Fatima, Az-Zahra radiallahu anha, are sleeping. And he goes there, and what does he say? Ala tusalliyani? Do you not pray at night? That's all he says. Do you not pray at night? Then they may have prayed and gone to sleep. Or they may have intention of getting up right. He says, Ala tusalliyani? Just an encouragement. Do you not pray at night? Take these two words for yourself. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to me. And see what the response would be. I think the other day we were mentioning in one of the gatherings, Brother Yawar mentioned, Sheikh Yawar mentioned, the characteristics of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who is well known for one of his fadail is that he would do everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He used to follow him in the greatest of details. So this is narrated by his son Salim, which is the grandson of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He says, my father said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once said to people, Ni'mar Rajul Abdullah, means Abdullah ibn Umar is such a wonderful Ni'mar Rajul, the best of people. Law kana yusalli min al-layli, only if he prayed at night. Means he is such a wonderful man, but there's one deficiency. If he only prayed at night, Qiyamul Layl, he would be like a perfect person. And Salim says, from that, when he heard that, my father never slept at night. Subhanallah. You know, that's how you take things seriously. The Prophet didn't command him. He said he's such a wonderful, this, and look at the beautiful way of encouraging him by saying he's such a wonderful, he's such a near perfect person. Only one little imperfection, he doesn't pray at night. If he did that, he would be, you know. So that's what his response was. And the Prophet ﷺ once said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who was another one of the companions, radiallahu anhuma, he said, Ya Abdullah, la takun mithla fulan. Don't be like so-and-so. Kana yaqumu al-layla fataraka qiyam al-layl. That he used to stand up at night. And then he gave it up. And that's people like me who sometimes get up, sometimes forget, sometimes abandon for weeks and months, and then go back to it. Steadfastness, steadfastness. Even if it is 2 or 4 rakats only, for 5-10 minutes, is better than praying 1 week, 4 hours a night, and then forgetting for a month. So we should all get, inshallah, into the habit. And as we said, the last third of the night is the best time for it. So the easy way, formula, practically speaking, is to get up a little before Fajr. Spend that time in that. Wait, Adhan will come in, you spend the time in istighfar, dua, do your fajr, and then if you want to rest, you can rest. The Prophet ﷺ was asked about what is the best salah after the obligatory, the faraid. He said, Salatul Layl. And then he said, and the best of the salah, he said in another narration, he said, Tulul Qunut means long standing at night. But let us start with short standing. Okay. When he moved to Medina, when he was in Quba, this hadith is narrated from there. This is a very beautiful hadith. I will say it in Arabic. Many of you know it because it rhymes. The Prophet said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ وَسَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. You see how it rhymes? He said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O mankind, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ, spread the salam, spread the peace. Not just the word, but treat each other with peace, and you know that people should feel that they are safe from your tongue, from your actions, from all those things. وَأَتَمُ الطَّعَامِ, same thing that said, people of Saqar will say, we did not feed the poor. Allah, Rasulullah saying, أَتَمُ الطَّعَامِ, feed people. We never prayed, they said, the people of Saqar, remember? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَسَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ, stand up in prayer at night, وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ, when most of mankind are sleeping. And if you do this, what? تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ, enter the reward, you will enter paradise in peace. Implement these things, feeding people, getting up at night, and treating people justly, giving them security and safety of Shusalam. The Prophet ﷺ said that, talked about Dawud ﷺ, that the best fasting was the fasting of Dawud ﷺ. Do you know how Dawud ﷺ used to fast? Yes. Every other day. Alternate days. And he said the best salah is the salah, the Qiyamul Layl, they also had of salah, is of Dawud alayhi salam. What did he do? He said, he used to sleep the first half of the night, then get up and pray 1/3 of the night, and then go back to sleep for the last 1/6 of the night. 1/3 and 1/6 equal how much? Math. Half. So half sleep, 1/3 and 1/6. That's a balance, right? Now, what should we do, those of us who are married and who have spouses, spices and spouses both? We have spices here, we can, spouses. We have spouses who are spices, you get up. What should you do? And your husband is sleeping, or your wife is sleeping, and you get up. So let me go and pray peacefully. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rahimallahu on rajul or woman, a husband or a wife who gets up to pray, and then wakes their spouse. Honey, get up and pray, qiyamul layl. And if the spouse is in deep sleep and is not getting up, you know what they do? Today that would be grounds for divorce. Take some water and sprinkles on the face. This is the sunnah. Prepare your spouse before you do it, so that, you know, lawyers are not calling you next day. Say, this is the sunnah. This is the sunnah. Both ways. He says, for a husband who does this to the wife, and the wife who gets up, because many of our wives are better than us, you know, can vouch for that, who wakes up their husband. And then he said, and if the husband and wife, and sometimes it's good to pray together. He says, those who get up and pray together would be counted among the dhakirin and dhakirat, in the ayah of, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the ones who remember Allah among the men and the women. So those are some of the benefits of getting up at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna laka fin nahari sabhan tawila." Read that.
Indeed, during the day you shall have lengthy occupations in calling to God.
So indeed, for you, again addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the daytime, fin nahari sabhan tawila. You have long periods of time to attend to things. What are the things? You may have personal obligations, you have people work. But for him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going out to people, inviting them, okay, to Islam, to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interacting with people, okay? And any other things, and some of the scholars have said that this also means time for leisure and time for sleep. You can sleep in that time because you are preparing to get up and stand in the night. Now, the word in Arabic, sabha, means what also? People who've been in Arabia in the heat, means to swim. Swimming. And this is the same when we say tasbih, tasbih, you're doing, we're saying tasbih, sabaha, sabaha means to swim. Now imagine this, that when you are doing tasbih, subhanallah, tahleel, la ilaha illallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, that you should feel like your heart is immersed in the water and it is swimming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your tasbih should be such that it's not just in the tongue, but you are actually in there and you are swimming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His nearness. Okay? Tasbih should be done with that jazbah, with that feeling, with that jazbah of being immersed in it, in His remembrance. That you are busy in the day in different occupations, halal occupations, all of the things that you need to do. Therefore, at night, get up and do this. Dedicate yourself. We will end there and we will open it up for questions and answers for a few minutes, and then we will end the session.